And good morning. Welcome into the front porch here on this Friday. It's the seventh day of February already, Joe.
Yes.
What do you think about it?
Well, we're just rolling along on this 2025.
I tell you what, 2024 moving along so quickly, and it seems like 25 is just as fast. It just don't seem possible. But anyway.
Well, people that are older than us, Brian, tell us that time moves faster as it gets older, I'm finding that out. I don't know about you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I can remember, you know, I just couldn't wait to be 16, you know, to be able to drive.
Oh, yeah, that was a big deal.
And, man, it took me forever to get to 16. I was like, man, I'm never going to get there. But anyway, and then after 16, it seemed like it just kept going a little faster and a little faster. And a little
accelerates.
Accelerates, yeah.
Well, as you drive a while, you learn you can go a little bit faster.
You go a little faster, that's right. That's right. But anyway.
Well, we're going to be going pretty fast this morning. Finishing up the book of Exodus, we're going to start in chapter 32 and go all the way to the end. We're going to probably leave out a few portions, but we're going to be talking about Israel's great sin. We talked about that last week with the worship of the golden calf. We're going to talk about repentance, and you have to dig a little deep to find that, and then experiencing God's mercy.
Okay.
When we sin, when we repent, we're able to experience God's mercy. He is merciful.
Yes, he is.
Wanting to extend mercy to us.
Amen.
So that's where we'll be this morning, starting off in chapter 32 of Exodus.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's word in 60 seconds. The Bible says in Matthew 6:12, "And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." Do you ever feel like there's a wall between you and God? Two things can hinder your relationship with God: unconfessed sin and unforgiveness. But Jesus teaches you how to be right with God and resolve bitterness toward others. Today's verse is part of what is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer, which begins with adoration and praise and moves into petition, or asking for your needs. When Jesus uses the word debt, what does he mean? A debt means that you owe something, you've made withdrawals, and now you need to pay up. God could allow your death to pay your debt, but instead, he gave his son's life as a gift to pay your debt. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's word in 60 seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It has blessed me more than I can express. The encouragement it brings, it's like water, it's like oxygen for the soul.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
And welcome back to the front porch, and I'm glad that Jesus gave his life for us.
I am too.
Amen.
Well, when we left off last week in our study in Exodus, we had covered the saga of the golden calf in Exodus 32. And I was reading in the Lucado Study Bible, and Max Lucado provides this review and insight. The people began to fear that Moses would not come down from the mountain, that they had lost their leader, that they would die in the wilderness. And so they asked Aaron to fashion an idol for them. You know, fear can lead people to do things they know are wrong, things they know they shouldn't do. The disloyalty of the calf-worshipping Hebrews stunned God. He had given his people a mayor seat perch at his Exodus extravaganza. They saw water transformed into blood. High noon changed into the midnight sky. Mm-hmm. The Red Sea into a red carpet. And the Egyptian army into fish bait. God gave manna with the morning dew, quail with the evening sun. He earned their trust. The former slaves had witnessed a millennium of miracles in a matter of days. And yet when God called Moses to a summit meeting, the people panicked like henless chicks. The scurvy of fear infected everyone in the camp. They crafted a metal cow and talked to it. And God was shocked at the calf-praising service.
Mm-hmm.
He said to Moses, "Get down there. They've turned from the way I commanded them. Oh, what a stubborn, hard-headed, stiff-necked people."
Mm-hmm.
Max said, "Our hearts hardened to an unhealthy reaction to fear." Note the presence of fear in the Hebrews. That didn't bother God. Their response to it did. Mm-hmm. Nothing persuaded the people to trust him. More than 3,000 years removed, we understand God's frustration. Turn to a statue for help.
Yeah.
How stupid.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Face your fears by facing a cow. Utterly foolish.
Yeah, utterly. You got that? Utterly foolish, yeah.
You caught it. We opt for more sophisticated therapies, belly-stretching food binges or budget-busting shopping sprees. We bow before a whiskey bottle or lose ourselves in an 80-hour work week. Progress? Hardly. We still face fears without facing God. Mm-hmm. Are you dealing with fears in an unhealthy, unhelpful, even sinful way? Well, God says, turn away from that and look to Him.
Yes.
What the Israelites did there at the foot of Mount Sinai was a very great rebellion against the Lord. It was indeed a reaction of fear, but there was still no excuse before God. Their reaction in a time of fear and uncertainty, it really revealed what was in their hearts all along, especially when it happened so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
As God's spokesman and as the leader of this bunch, Moses reacted with horror when he witnessed what was going on in Exodus 32, 19, and 20.
So it was as soon as he came near the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Then he took the calf which they had made, burned it in the fire, and ground it to powder. And he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it.
What do you think about Moses throwing down those sacred tablets?
Yeah.
The Ten Commandments and breaking them.
Hmm.
Should he have had more regard for such a sacred object?
You would think so.
Well, I think what he did demonstrated how thoroughly the people had violated those very commandments that were on them.
Yeah.
He must have been horrified at what he saw and heard, and how hard it must have been for the people to have to drink that water mixed with gold powder. Yeah. It had to have been nasty stuff. Yeah, bitter tasting.
That's what I'm saying.
As for Aaron, he certainly had failed in leading the people.
Yeah.
It was he who had been gutless
mm-hmm.
as the people contemplated such great sin, wanting him to fashion a god for them to worship and follow. And Scripture doesn't tell it, but I wonder, did Aaron protest at all? Said, people, this is not right.
Mm-hmm.
We should not worship a golden calf. We should worship the Lord alone.
Yeah.
Well, we don't read that Aaron said that.
No.
It just seems like he just went along with the flow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And even though he tried to convince Moses when confronted that he had just thrown the gold into the fire and out came this golden calf.
Yeah.
Exodus 32, verse 4 tells us, however, that Aaron had shaped and fashioned that calf with the tool, the one he said just walked out of the fire. Now, why do you think Aaron told his brother such a whopper of a lie?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he must have been at a loss to explain his actions. There was no good excuse for what Aaron did in this incident
Mm-mm.
of the golden calf. But guess what? We're going in our study next week to the book of Leviticus, and we find that Aaron is the priest.
Okay. All right.
So there is forgiveness and restoration even after you do dumb stuff that God's not done using you.
Yeah.
I think
we all do that.
Yeah. Well, as the revelry continued among the people, even when Moses had returned to purge the sin from God's people, it required the Levites to go through the camp from one end to the other, each killing his brother and friend and neighbor. It would show who was still on the Lord's side.
Mm-hmm.
Exodus 32, 25 through 29 shows a radical dealing with such grievous sin.
Now, when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them to their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from the entrance to entrance throughout the camp. And let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Then Moses said, "Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, that he may bestow on you a blessing this day, for every man has opposed his son and his brother."
Now, one writer drew a parallel to our common approach to dealing with cancer in the body.
Yeah.
The most effective approach in most cases is to do what? Radical surgery.
Yeah.
Remove that affected area.
Remove it, yeah.
Get that cancer out of the body.
Yes.
Even then, many times there is radiation or chemo to shrink the cancer mm-hmm. before surgery mm-hmm. or afterwards as a precaution.
Yes.
But what the Levites did was very radical, almost unimaginable, to get that cancer of sin out of Israel. And some writers believed it happened only after identifying the ringleaders who said, "Let's shape the calf. Let's worship a calf." Mm-hmm. Or perhaps they found some still engaging in revelry and idol worship.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they were the ones who were killed to rid the camp of such sin against God, such cancer. In addition, God exacted additional judgment on his people in verse 35 of Exodus 32.
So the Lord plagued the people because of what they did with the calf which Aaron made.
So there is punishment for sin.
Punishment
there are consequences
comes.
For yeah. sin.
Yeah.
But already in Exodus 32, we saw Moses appealing to the Lord for the Israelites because God said, if I do the right thing, I just wipe them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Start all over.
Start all over.
And Moses said, "No, Lord, your reputation's at stake here.
Mm-hmm.
What will the Egyptians will say? Well, the Lord was strong enough to get his people out of Egypt, but he wasn't mighty enough to
sure.
get them into the promised land."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we continue to see Moses interceding to God on behalf of the people of Israel. Look at his words to the people and then his prayer to God, Exodus 32, 30 through 32.
"Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, 'You have committed a great sin, so now I'll go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin.' Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, 'Oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written.'"
Now, what book is that?
And that's the book of life.
Moses prayed to the Lord. He even offered to have his own name blotted out of the Lamb's book of life. Now, that is love.
That's love. Yes.
And I'm not sure that's a possibility.
Yeah.
But God was pretty angry still with his people. It was almost as if his holiness was wanting to give up on them.
Mm-hmm.
But his mercy.
Yeah.
His mercy was wanting to show itself
mm-hmm.
if his people
mm-hmm.
would repent and turn back to him. So in Exodus 33, first three verses, God was at the point of dispatching an angel to bring them into the promised land. God was still wanting to remain aloof from them, lest he judge them along the way.
"Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying to your descendants, I will give it. And I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite.
Hivites and Jebusites.
Yeah, there you go.
And the termites.
Go up to the land flowing milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people.'"
So these words from the Lord, as well as the radical steps of having to drink that concoction that Moses mixed up in water,
mm-hmm.
The stand for righteousness by the Levites, and then the plague.
Yeah.
I think it brought them to their senses.
Yeah.
The thought of God not accompanying them into the promised land brought them to what I believe was a place of repentance. Exodus 33, 4 through 6.
"And when the people heard this bad news, they mourned, and no one put on his ornaments. For the Lord said to Moses, 'Say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I could come up into your midst in one moment and consume you. Now therefore take off your ornaments, that I may know what to do to you.' So the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Horeb.
We'll talk about what those ornaments may have involved. I think this is the beginning of Israel's repentance, though. Okay. We'll talk about it after Pen from the Heart and a Song here on Missionary Radio.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Madisonville, Missionary Radio has been family to me through thick and thin. It is wonderful to know godly counsel, teaching, and music can be found any time, day or night. I thank God for all involved in working together for Him. From Hopkinsville, blessings to each of you at Missionary Radio. I continue to be so thankful for the radio station and thankful for each of you who give so much to keep it on the air. I'm praying God will continue to provide funds to keep going. From a Clarksville listener, we've been listening to your station since 1994. It's a vital part of our lives and encouragement to us day by day. God bless you all.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
We're working our way through the last number of chapters of Exodus. We're in Exodus 33 this morning. Just the words from the Lord is also the thought of God not accompanying them into the promised land kind of woke them up.
Mm-hmm.
And in verses 4 through 6 of Exodus 33, God told them to not put on any ornaments. And then they took off their ornaments at Mount Horeb.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying anything about ornaments, earrings right now.
Sure.
In our culture. But in that culture, the significance of stripping off their ornaments was that they were signs that they were still heathen, worshiping other gods.
Mm-hmm.
And God called them to take a stand for Him. To demonstrate by their actions that they were willing to leave their past idol worship behind them.
Yes.
Sometimes we have to demonstrate by putting some things out of our lives that we are really repenting, that we are turning to God and turning away from whatever it was that had tripped us up. And their response to witnessing God meeting with Moses in a tent outside the camp would really test them to see where their hearts were. Because remember the last time they were without Moses for a little bit, it didn't go so well. Would they react to their fear of losing their leader, or would they worship God alone now? Look at their response, Exodus 33, 7 through 11.
Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was whenever Moses went outside of the tabernacle that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, when Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshiped each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle.
And you told me you were reading from the book of Joshua.
Yeah.
This morning on your scripture reading.
Yes.
Joshua will be Moses' successor. Note that he's there with him in that tent of the meeting.
Okay.
I know the New King James was calling it the tabernacle, but it'd be a few more chapters before the tabernacle is constructed.
Okay.
So this is kind of a predecessor, an intermediate tabernacle, the tent of meeting. But this time the people reacted not with fear and turning away from the Lord, but as they witnessed from afar God meeting with Moses face to face, they stood and worshiped, each at the entrance to their own tents.
Mm-hmm.
That's a reaction as well, demonstrating their repentance, I believe.
Sure.
And Moses enjoyed a unique relationship with God that few have enjoyed. Look how it's described in verse 11 of Exodus 33.
So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle.
That's an amazing statement that the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And yet that close relationship left Moses desiring to get even closer to the Lord. I know some Christians are really, really strong in their walk with the Lord, really walk close to Him, and probably without exception, their desire, I want to get still closer.
Yeah.
I want to get closer and closer to Him.
I'm just glad He's a friend.
Yeah.
You know, I love, you know, that He sticks closer than a brother.
And through Jesus, we can approach God.
Sure.
We can come into His presence, and He desires to meet with us.
Yes, He does.
So we have a little bit of that friendship aspect that Moses enjoyed. And Moses wanted to get even closer to the Lord. Look in verses 12 through 14.
Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest."
Now Moses' prayer, verse 13, is a good one that we should pray. Lord, show me your way, or teach me your ways.
Yes.
So that I may know you and continue to find favor with you.
Yes.
But even as Moses prayed to the Lord to know him even better and better, God's people were on his heart. Moses was not content with just an angel of the Lord leading them.
Mm-hmm.
He desired the personal leadership of the Lord himself as he continued praying in verses 15 through 17. In fact, he told the Lord, "Without your presence with us, don't send us ahead. We don't want to move forward without you." Exodus 33, 15 through 17.
Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will I be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name."
You see the compassion and mercy of the Lord showing through once again toward his people.
Mm-hmm.
He's come a long way since, if I did the right thing, I'd wipe them out.
Yeah, that's right.
Before we move on from Exodus 33, we read of a very unusual request of the Lord from Moses. Since the Lord was already talking with him face to face, as one might converse with a dear friend, Moses has a very unusual request, very bold request, verses 18 through 23.
And he said, "Please show me your glory." Then he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." And the Lord said, "Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen."
Remember that hymn, He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. Rivers of mercy I see.
Yes.
Well, Moses, when he asked the Lord, show me your glory, and the Lord kind of said, well, you can't handle.
You can't handle.
In your physical in your physical being, you can't handle seeing all of my glory. No man can.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Lord did put certain restrictions on so that Moses could see more of God than he'd ever seen before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he lived to tell it, lived to write about it here in Exodus. The Lord revealed his character, that he would have mercy on whom he will have mercy and compassion on whom he will have compassion. It says something about the majesty and glory of our God that God agreed to the request of Moses, but with certain restrictions.
Yeah.
Neither Moses nor any other human being could handle seeing God's face in this life and tell about it.
Mm-mm.
Although when Christ put on human flesh, he revealed the glory of the Father to an extent.
Yes.
The Apostle John said, we have seen his glory.
Amen.
The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And many believe only when we are in heaven will we truly see him as he is in all his glory.
Yeah.
Well, when we come back after Johnny Erickson Tata sharing hope, we'll turn the page to chapter 34 of Exodus, where Moses has to chisel out two more stone tablets. Remember, he had thrown down others.
Oh, yeah.
And God's going to inscribe those Ten Commandments once again. And he will also reveal some of his character to Moses as we continue to see Israel restored by the compassion of God.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata with a song to comfort you today. One time my mother and I went to The Cove, a Christian retreat center in the Smoky Mountains. It is so beautiful, a majestic two-story cabin that serves as the main house. Upstairs, a cozy corner with couches and a big fireplace. That day, a quadriplegic named Bruce wanted to meet with me there, and we thought that that cozy area would make a good place for two wheelchairs. Bruce had broken his neck in a motorcycle accident a year earlier, and he had things he wanted to talk to me about. So my mother and I sat and listened. The atmosphere outside the cabin windows was cold and gray, but the air around our fireplace was warm and cheery. But things dampened a bit as he shared more of his story. Before his accident, Bruce had been a successful dentist. But now, with no use of his hands, he had lost his career. He was a Christian and wanted so very much to trust God. But as he opened up, I realized his biggest problem was not his wheelchair. No, his wife had moved out a few weeks earlier, and he was facing legal and financial problems, as well as the normal baggage of adjusting to quadriplegia. This stuff isn't easy, he sighed, and I sighed with him, understanding at least some of what he meant. I turned to my 84-year-old mother, sitting on the couch. She was nodding knowingly. She, too, was a battle-scarred veteran of pain and loss. Learning to trust God does not happen all at once, I told Bruce. Trust happens in small steps, tiny steps of radical obedience, in small little things. I call it drastic trust. It's when your mind and emotions try their best to sweep you away from the Word of God, but in the flood of feelings, you grab hold of an anchor, like Psalm 62, verse 8, trust in the Lord in all things. And that includes little things, even if the victory is only a smile, or not complaining for one day, or putting up your sails so that God can move you forward. I repeated to Bruce what had been for me my own anchor, Psalm 62, verse 8, trust in the Lord in all things. And at the end of the visit, after we had talked about our disabilities and taken photos, we huddled closer to the fire to pray. That's when my mother spoke up for the first time. She had been listening to our conversation, and so she offered up to us and to the Lord the following song. Looking into the fire, she sang to Bruce, I do not know why oft around me my hopes all shattered seem to be. God's perfect plan I cannot see, but someday I'll understand. Someday he'll make it plain to me. Someday when I his face shall see. Someday from tears I shall be free, for someday I shall understand. My mom was not a seminary graduate or a Bible student, but she glorified God in her song, and oh, was Bruce comforted. God's glory is the radiance of his attributes that break forth in visible ways around us. And that day by the fire, my mother was God's mirror, reflecting the light of God's comfort into our hearts. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." And sometimes that comfort is just a song.
Missionary Radio is a listener-supported and funded Christian radio station that has existed since 1981. That's over 43 years of faithful listeners such as yourself, believing in the power of radio as a medium of communication to broadcast the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ over the FM airwaves and online around the globe. We believed back in 1981 that the world needed King Jesus, and we firmly know and believe that we need him now more than ever. We would like to encourage you to call our unmanned phone line that is purposed to receive voicemails. All you have to do is dial 270-962-4055 and leave a voicemail of encouragement to help edify our listeners. Share a testimony of how listening to and supporting Missionary Radio has been a blessing to you all these years. Let us know what your favorite program or Christian artist is. We would love to hear from you. Just call 270-962-4055 to leave us an edifying and encouraging voicemail to share with old and new listeners alike.
We're working our way through the last few chapters of the book of Exodus this morning, and as we turn the page to chapter 34, we find Moses chiseling out two more stone tablets on which God would inscribe the Ten Commandments. Verses 4 through 7, when the Lord had finished, he revealed much of his character to Moses.
So he cut two tablets of stone like the first ones, then Moses rose early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and he took it in his hand and the two tablets of stone. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding is goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.
Now, do you suppose the Lord said to Moses, because remember, Moses threw down that first copies.
Yes, yes.
You think the Lord said to Moses, now, Moses, be careful with these this time.
Be a little more careful with these. Yeah, yeah.
Don't stumble over a rock or a tree root on your way back down the mountain.
There you go. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But what a picture of the mercy and holiness of God he reveals to Moses here, that he is a compassionate and gracious God.
Yes, he is.
Slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Mm-hmm. He maintains love to thousands and forgives wickedness, rebellion, and sin.
Yes.
And yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished.
That's right.
Well, we see one more prayer from Moses on behalf of the Jewish people. We're looking for repentance on the part of the Jewish people, and we're looking for God's love and compassion and mercy to shine through toward them. Moses prays one more prayer on behalf of the Jewish people, and we see God's response, verses 8 through 10 of Exodus 34.
So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Then he said, If now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. And he said, Behold, I make a covenant before all your people. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any of the nation, and all the people among whom you are shall... And all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I will do with you.
I didn't see it last week as I studied this passage. I felt as I came away with it last week that the Israelites had forfeit being able to enjoy the presence of the Lord as they continued their trek through the wilderness. And I missed the mercy of God toward his people. That's why it's good to read and reread God's word.
Oh, yes.
But after a week of reading that passage over and over again several times, I think I see it a little differently. Now, as a result of the continued intercession of Moses, and we see God's holy anger cooling, and I see the attitude of the Lord shifting where his mercy won out and he desired once more, like a loving father, to be close to his people that he had chosen for his own. So there's a song from Phillips, Craig, and Dean called Mercy Came Running, that when justice was no longer in the way, God's mercy came flowing once more toward his people. So now the tabernacle project was back on, and God wanted once more to dwell among his people because their hearts had shifted back toward him, and his mercy was turned once more toward them. In chapters 35 through 39 of Exodus, the plans that God had laid out for the tabernacle were brought to reality. Skip ahead to chapter 36. I want to dwell on this again just a moment, that the Israelites gave toward the building of the tabernacle with glad and generous hearts. I think their hearts were filled with gratitude for God's forgiveness and restoration. Do you remember that one-of-a-kind situation where when they took a free will offering and the leadership had to tell them, quit giving.
Yeah, quit giving.
Because they had all that would be needed for the tabernacle. I would love to have a friend raiser or a carathon for Missionary Radio and be able to say to you all, y'all have been so generous.
That's right. You've been so generous.
Quit giving right now. We have all we need.
Yeah, that would be a blessing.
Well, this really, according to one commentator, J. Vernon McGee of Through the Bible, this is a one-in-a-kind situation in God's Word where they took up an offering and they told the people, we've got enough.
Yeah. Wow.
Look in verses 2 through 7 of Exodus 36.
Then Moses called
Bezalel and Aholiab.
All right. Every gifted artisan in whose heart the Lord has or had put his wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work. And they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. So they continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing. And they spoke to Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do. So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let there neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. And the people were restrained from bringing. For the material they had had was sufficient for all the work to be done, indeed too much.
I think when we give with generous hearts to the Lord, it really reveals where our hearts are if we give generously, if we are cheerful givers.
Yes.
And I believe here the generous giving from the Israelites reflected where their hearts were now. They were hearts that had been transformed by God's grace. And to make a long story short, the tabernacle was completed just before they were to celebrate the Passover, to recall the mighty work of God to bring them out of 400-plus years of slavery. This had all happened in the past year for them.
Yes.
And what a celebration we find at the end of Exodus 39, where Moses, who had received the vision for the tabernacle from the Lord on the mountain, does his final inspection of that tabernacle. Verses 42 and 43 of Exodus 39.
According to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did all the work. Then Moses looked over all the work, and indeed they had done it, as the Lord had commanded. So they had done it, and Moses blessed them.
And so this portable structure of worship where they would worship the Lord God was all set up just as he had told them to do.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 33 of Exodus 40 finishes with these words, and so Moses finished the work. The tabernacle passed the inspection of Moses, but would the designer and the future occupant of that place, the tabernacle, would the Lord God give his approval? Well, we see his answer in Exodus 40, verses 34 through 38.
Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting, because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys.
Well, did the Lord approve of this tabernacle that they had built?
Looks like it.
I think he did.
Mm-hmm.
And look how he demonstrated his approval, that the cloud covered that tent of meeting. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle so much that Moses could not go in there. The Nelson Study Bible offers this summary. When everything the Lord had commanded had been completed, he came near in an epiphany, a dramatic descent that manifested his glory among his people. When the Lord came near in the event described here, the people were overjoyed. Mm-hmm. This was not a descent of judgment, but of mercy.
Yes.
The glory of the Lord filling the tabernacle
mm-hmm.
demonstrated his presence with the Israelites. They could look up by day and see the mm-hmm. cloud over that tabernacle,
mm-hmm.
and by night see a cloud of fire over it. Although Moses had been intimately involved in preparing the tabernacle, its completion meant that the glory of the Lord was present, and even Moses could not enter it. So throughout this section, we encounter two attributes of God. One is his great grace, his tender mercy. The King of glory was in the midst of his people.
Amen.
And the second is God's indescribable holiness. The Lord filled the tent, and no one could draw near. He filled it with his Shekinah glory,
mm-hmm.
with the cloud. Whole other kind of cloud than
yes.
what computer people talk about.
That's right. That's right.
But how wonderful that the book of Exodus concludes with this image of the gracious God hovering protectively over his people. God was present with his people even before Jesus came. A faithful Israelite could see the tabernacle and realize that God was there mm-hmm. in his splendor and power.
Amen.
And with him, the people advanced to Canaan, the land he had promised to them. Father, thank you for your presence with us through the mercy and grace that we find in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to follow your leadership today, and help us to be bold and introduce other people to our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Joe, and thanks for listening to The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio. And join us all next week for The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio.